Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Just bringing a few messages coming in on that last conversation. On Android, we use Family Link, which allows us to lock the phone at bedtime, so we've no issues about usage at night. Another one, I deleted my social media apps about a month ago. I feel less stressed. I'm picking up my phone less. I can't go without WhatsApp. I have three children, so I need to reply to GAA and soccer groups for matches, etc. But everything else social media-wise is gone, and that seems to be helping that person. My son will be getting an old school Nokia phone when he goes to secondary school. No way will he get a smartphone. And this one, I'm still arguing with my 17-year-old every night at 10 o'clock, but it's the one fight worth having, and everybody is having it. 51551 for your messages. Now, the government's long-awaited revision of the Housing for All plan is expected to be published in the coming weeks, but what could it mean for Ireland's social and affordable housing sector? Well, earlier this week, the largest gathering of housing stakeholders in the country took place in Cavan, the ICSH National Social Housing Conference, and our reporter Maura Fay was there to find out what the sector is hoping for in this updated plan, which is coming, we believe, very shortly. So Maura, when we're talking about the social and affordable housing sector, what exactly are we talking about?
So it's housing for people who can't afford to buy or rent on the open market. Social housing is typically provided by local authorities or approved housing bodies known as AHBs, or through schemes like Housing Assistance Payment or the HAP scheme. Affordable housing, on the other hand, is delivered through things like the cost rental schemes or affordable purchase schemes. The Irish Council for Social Housing, or ICSH, represents approved housing bodies nationally, and it's a growing sector. The previous Housing for All plan set ambitious targets: 88,400 new social homes and 53,800 affordable homes by 2030. That means the state needs to acquire a significant amount of housing, and some of the experts predict it could soon overtake first-time buyers as the largest purchaser of new homes. But last year, as we all know, just 30,000 new homes were completed, well short of the government's target of 40,000. One of the speakers at the conference was Kevin Timoney, chief economist with Davy. I asked him whether the state's large-scale acquisition of new housing was contributing to a shortage for private buyers. He told me the opposite, that social housing is actually helping sustain the overall housing output.
I think if you wind it back further, the big issue was that social housing stock in Ireland used to be higher, and that it was privatised, essentially sold to the private sector, which in and of itself I think is fine, but I think the decision not to replenish the social housing stock then, that has led to a situation where plenty of housing units that ought to be available to rent or to buy at more affordable sort of levels have instead ended up in the social housing net over the last number of decades, really. More recently, I think the reality is there's significant need across private, social, all forms of tenure. And in more recent years too, many of these projects would not have been built in the first place if not for the fact that there was a buyer lined up in the form of an AHB or in the form of a local authority. And prior to that, it is also true, the development wouldn't have been built if not for a private rental supplier paying for the development. So, the idea that these things just would have been built anyway and could have been sold to owner-occupiers, I think that's a bit of an oversimplification of the reality. The reality is that different developments have different customer needs, and that there are different risks associated with that. If you were to build a 200 apartments, for example, build to sell, you might find that you sell the first 50 or 100 very quickly, but then you're left with another 100, which you don't know when they're going to sell, you don't know at what price they might sell. There might be concerns about the depth of the market, whether for the price involved of construction for the units, whether they can actually be sold on at a profit. So there's big uncertainty for the sector on that score, and viability is a big concern. That is less of a concern with the social and affordable sector. So that's it's a more direct maybe way of getting to a higher output number, is when you have certainty over the purchase.
Yeah, Yeah, certainty over the buyer. So what is the sector hoping to see then in this new revised Housing for All plan that we're waiting for, Maura?
So Aoife Waters is the CEO of Respond. It's an approved housing body and registered charity. Respond currently manages 8,200 homes across 26 counties with another 3,500 under construction. Aoife told me that they're actively working to grow the national housing stock and that she'd like to see the social housing sector making a return to making 20% of that stock. Right now, it's only at about 10%.
A big gap.
It is. She also highlighted that Respond is construction-led, meaning that they acquire sites and build homes through stage payments rather than buying completed homes from developers at turnkey stage. She said that this approach is crucial for both cost and quality. And she told me what she'd like to see in the revised housing plan.
For me, momentum is going to be built around stability and certainty. We need to see policy certainty and stability. We need to see those parameters locked in between now and 2030. We need to see funding certainty at the appropriate level, in particular multi-annual funding, so we have visibility to the end of the pipeline that, you know, developers can commit, we can sign contracts with confidence, and lenders can back. Absolutely crucial to have that visibility. And I think when there's policy shifts and funding uncertainty, that leads to delays, and we know that delays are by far the single driver of cost inflation. So I think that's it, the policy stability, the funding certainty. And I think really to have recognised the construction-led approach and to have a model to facilitate that. And I suppose a final point to note is we in Respond are delivering high-density, large-scale housing, quality housing in well-connected communities, diverse, sustainable, and we strongly believe that that is the key to sustainable communities that support all income types. And really to make sure that that is delivered successfully at pace and at quality, we need to see those community spaces in there as well, and that's recognised. Creches, community spaces, green spaces, community hubs, and that staff on the ground. That would be a core ask for the new National Housing Plan as well.
It's a very strong message to politicians there. Set the policy and stick to it so that we know where we are. And when it comes to demand then for the services provided by these approved housing bodies, just like the one that Aoife runs, Respond, what's that demand like?
It's huge, Claire. Eimear O'Hagan is the head of Housing and Asset Management with HAIL, the Housing Association for Integrated Living. HAIL is the leading provider of housing for people with severe and enduring mental health difficulties. It was founded in the 1980s during the decongregation of psychiatric hospitals and has been operating for over 40 years. All of their housing nominations come through local authorities, and once someone becomes a tenant, they're supported by a tenancy sustainment officer, someone who helps that person to adjust to living independently. I asked Eimear about the level of demand for their services.
Absolutely. So look, at the moment, you know, the local authorities, the housing need assessment says there's about 1,600 people out there with an enduring mental health difficulty that needs our housing and our tenancy sustainment service. And I said together because, you know, it's one thing getting a house, but there's no point in getting a house if you can't sustain a tenancy. So, you know, with that 1,600, what we're providing is very low numbers in terms of what we need to be providing going forward there as well.
So you currently provide 500 tenancies. There's a need for about 1,600 tenancies more. What needs to happen in order for you to be able to deliver to meet demand?
What we're looking for is a viable funding model for special needs housing providers. At the moment, it's a different funding model because, you know, where it originated from and where it's got to now, shall we say, 42 years down the line. So whenever we say that, that's what we call cost recovery. So at the moment, while we have, it's called the Capital Assistance Scheme, we have actually moved to what we call the Capital Advanced Loan Facility. So it's the CAF funding for the housing associations. So what that means is that, you know, for the life term of the actual tenancy or for the life term of the actual asset, that we have a cost recovery model. So that's, you know, our asset management projections are put in to that recovery model. That's the income is projected there, as well as the service charges as well. And also just, you know, the actual overheads, shall we say, to manage those properties as well.
that doesn't exist at the minute, obviously.
It does to an extent, but because special needs providers would have, you know, we would be slightly different than the general needs, we would have higher wear and tear on our properties. So, yes, it is something that we're waiting on the National Housing Plan to release their plan now in the coming weeks. And also we would have fed into the strategic form there as well to get that funding model out there. So we are currently using the CAF funding model at the moment, which does allow us to have that long-term viability. However, that just slightly needs to be tweaked towards the special needs sector as well.
So that's Eimear Hagan. Now, the big question is, do we know when the government's new housing plan will be published?
We don't yet, Claire. The Department of Housing say the new housing plan will be published shortly. And while work is being undertaken to progress a new plan, the measures detailed in Housing for All will continue to be progressed to accelerate and increase delivery of secure and affordable housing.
All right, so we'll wait and see more. Thank you very much. That's Maura Fay, our reporter there. Coming up later in the programme, star of stage and screen, the actor Aidan Gillen, joins us for a chat about the Dingle International Film Festival, which is coming up next month. But next, check out free shopping or a friendly cashier. We're going to be finding out why Amazon have decided to pull their till-free supermarkets.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.